Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. You know, I've been thinking how much I've said to you the last week and a half. Of course, I've said it many other times as well about no compromise, about truly following the Lord day in and day out and repenting when I fail. I will inevitably make mistakes, but just repenting and getting up on my feet. I'm thinking about this and how often I've said it to you. And you know, I have to preach to myself, lest I become the castaway. I have to look at myself. Is there any compromise in my life? Am I truly living for God, seeking to do God's will in my life? Or am I giving in to my own faults, my own weaknesses, my own sins? They're always there. There's always a battle. But am I moving toward less and less compromise? Am I moving toward a clarity in my life? So I'm asking myself the same questions I'm raising with you. Let's pray together that our lives are not lives of compromise in any way, but that we are fully given to the Lord, fully given to His purpose. You could turn a whole nation around. Do you know that? If we did that. I'm not exaggerating, because God's grace is so marvelous that the more people who yield to Him, the more use, in the best sense of that word, the more use He can make of us, the more opportunities there are for people to convert, to give their lives to Christ or back to Christ. Let's take a look at the first reading for today from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because you are haughty of heart, you say, a god am I. Do you see how this has been there from time immemorial? This is the Old Testament. This is the prophet Ezekiel. Because you are haughty of heart, you say, a god am I. I occupy a godly throne in the heart of the sea. Yet you are a man. You're not a god. However, you may think yourself like a god. Oh, yes, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is beyond you. By your wisdom and your intelligence, you have made riches for yourself. You have put gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom applied to your trading, you have heaped up your riches. Your heart has grown haughty from your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have thought yourself to have the mind of a god, therefore, I will bring against you foreigners, the most barbarous of nations. They shall draw their swords against your beauteous wisdom. They shall run them through your splendid apparel. They shall thrust you down to the pit, there to die a bloodied corpse in the heart of the sea. Will you then say, I am a god, when you face your murderers? No, you are a man. Not a god. Hand it over to those who will slay you. You shall die the death of the uncircumcised at the hands of foreigners, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. God has revealed Himself, brothers and sisters, again and again and again. And just like the people here in the Old Testament and the New, just like people here, our pride and our arrogance, our selfishness, our envy can take over and make us what we don't want to be. It's not that we choose to be bad. We just choose not to make decisions. We choose not to chart a new course for our lives. We need to. We need to. Otherwise, the foreigners, the most barbarous of nations, shall draw their swords against your beauteous wisdom. They shall run them through your splendid apparel. They shall thrust you down to the pit. Take a look at yourself. I'm not being dramatic. This is simply the words of Scripture. Where are you? Responsorial Psalm comes from Deuteronomy chapter 32. It is I who deal death and give life. It is I who deal death and give life. One verse of this Psalm says, our own hand won the victory. The Lord had nothing to do with it. Our own hand won the victory. I did it. This is me. There is no God. The Lord had nothing to do with it. Do you see? The same sins, the same arrogance, the same rebellion that was there in the Old Testament is right here in your heart and in mine. And we, every person, has to decide, what am I going to do with that? Tolerate it? Make friends with it? Am I going to try to ignore it? Or am I going to command it to get out of my life? By the name of Jesus, by the power of his shed blood, my own selfishness, my own greed, my own lust, my own hatred, my own jealousy and envy. Am I just going to let them be there and hope that they ignore me? Or am I going to cast them out? We need to make some clear decisions. The gospel is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 23 to 30. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they said, "Who then can be saved? How can I do this? Who could be saved then? It's impossible." And Jesus looked at them and said, "For men it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." But God needs our cooperation. How many times have I said it? He won't violate our free will. We have to decide. He gives us the right to decide, to choose. Do we choose him, or do we choose the way of the world? You can't do both. One will destroy you, one will save you. Which path do you choose? Jesus looked at them and said, "For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible." And then Peter said to him in reply, "We've given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" We've given up everything, Lord. What are you going to give us in return? It's a logical human question. And Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who's given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The last will be first. Brothers and sisters, we hear these words. I mean, how many times do we listen to these words? How many times do we hear them? How many times do we ponder them and say, "Oh, yes, yes, this is something I should pay attention to. This is something I must pay attention to." And then we don't. We say, I really should pay attention to this. And then we don't. I've been quoting recently Merrick Kesson. I want to quote him on this particular passage in Scripture, Matthew 19, verses 23 to 30. He says, "To turn my back on Jesus, to allow myself to be reeled back into mediocrity by earthly attachments, is the same as refusing to enter the kingdom of heaven." Listen to that again. "To turn my back on Jesus, to allow myself to be reeled back into mediocrity by earthly attachments, is the same as refusing to enter the kingdom of heaven. To be rich in a worldly sense is to be poor in the eyes of God. Jesus will not smooth over the basic incompatibility between worldly and divine values. This whole time, the disciples have been silent witnesses of the encounter between Jesus and the rich young man. But now Jesus turns to them to continue initiating them ever more deeply into discipleship. using the scene that they have just witnessed as a cautionary tale. The first lesson Jesus teaches them comes through a hiatus in the conversation by virtue of something he did not do. We should picture Jesus gazing for a long time with sorrow at the diminishing figure moving away from him with a heavy step. We should. The question is, do we? Much as he loves him and desires his company, the rich young man, that is, much as he desires his company, Jesus does not go running after the young man to renegotiate the terms of his offer. He doesn't. And thus make himself more persuasive, just as he does not run after the disciples who turn their back on him when they find another of his teachings too difficult to accept. Jesus said to the 12, "Will you also go away?" He also almost appears to be encouraging them to depart. So deeply must the knife of his love probe the quality of their hearts, always in order to excise the tumor of doubt and so heal. How many times have we heard the story of the rich young man? Not directly referred to here, but how many times do we hear that? And you can't, he says, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God, because we get weighed down with the things of this world. And they don't have just material things, but worldly values. We get weighed down by them. And in fact, the disciples, it tells us here, are so astonished that they said, "Who then can be saved?" I mean, we're all imbued with this, with these earthly desires and our own selfishness. We're filled with that. So who could be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, "For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible." And Peter said to him, "We've given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That's what he gave them. But he said, "All of them who have given up houses, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, lands for my sake will receive 100 times more in this life and will inherit eternal life." Brothers and sisters, this is the truth. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, Christ promises you everlasting life. But the choices to get us into that place begin right now. I know I'm repeating myself over and over again on this, but I need you to hear me. Not just, as we say, here in the head, but let it go from the head to the heart, where changes take place. May God bless you, and may he show you the way. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." God bless you.